Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And this week we've been talking about the homegoing of Mama Jenkins, and even while this broadcast is on, we're in her homegoing service in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. If you want to, you can go online and find out how you can watch it streamed live, and then come back and listen to this radio broadcast on the archives at billybrim.org. That's billyebrim.org. But we looked, because of the way Mama Jenkins went home, 102 years old, she ate her breakfast, she smiled and closed her eyes, and she was gone. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin did that. He ate his breakfast, he smiled, closed his eyes, and he was gone. Brother Smith Wigglesworth was at another man's funeral in the church, and he just closed his eyes and went home. And now that is the same way that Brother Philip Halverson, one of my mentors, went home. And it's called going home, the Jews call it. It's one of the ways of death that they've studied out in the Bible. And it's called going home by the divine kiss. We went through the scriptures and examined this. And if you want to know about it, you can go online and listen to the radio archives this week. And we don't have time to review the whole thing today, but that's the way also Brother Philip Halverson, my mentor, went home. Great man of prayer. He prayed on a level, I believe, that was beyond anything I'd ever seen. When Brother Hagin first met him, he would pray things out and English would come out. And Brother Hagin had gone up, Kenneth E. Hagin had gone up to Minneapolis, Minnesota for a meeting because God told him to go there. And the pastor said, "There's a man here who's having experience in prayer like I don't have, and I want you to talk to him." So it was Brother Philip Halverson. And Brother Halverson explained how he would see things and he would hear words and he would pray them out and then they would come to pass. And he said, for instance, one of the things I'm praying right now is for one piece of candy and one cookie. And Brother Hagin just laughed because he said, those are my granddaughters, Cookie and Candy. And actually, there was an opening for worship leader in the church where Brother Halverson went. And Brother Hagin's daughter and son-in-law, Buddy Harrison, filled that vacancy later. But what Brother Halverson was doing about, he was praying them in, and he was praying through and seeing one cookie and one piece of candy. And so Brother Halverson always had amazing, you might enjoy his book that we have here, and you can call and ask for it at 1-800-972-3447 or go online to get it. And I'll tell you a funny thing that happened along these lines. I wrote an introduction to that book, and you can read about it in there. But this morning, I want to talk about his homegoing. He had a magnificent homegoing, and this is how it happened. My only sister, 42 years old, became sick. She was only sick like a couple of months, and she was very sick. And she died then and went to heaven at only 42. She passed May 30th, 1985, and we buried her that weekend on a Friday, and Saturday a group of family was at my parents' home. The phone rang. It was Brother Halverson. Brother Halverson lived in Minnesota, and he spoke to me for more than an hour. He told me personal things about his prayer, how he, the Holy Ghost didn't really take up for him, for my sister, but did take up for her husband. And her husband, during that time, of course, was greatly touched by God. But he told me, Brother Halverson said, this attack was not against her, though she fell victim to it and her family did. It was against you. It was Satan. He's trying to make you quit. Now, my husband, my own husband, passed away 10 months later. So it was a real time of Satan trying to make me quit. And Brother Halverson said to me on the phone that day, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. You have no idea how important it is to the Holy Ghost that you do not quit. He said, your number one job is to help the prayers in the last days. Don't quit. Well, at that time, I would not have thought that was my number one job. But now I see how prayer mountains come about, how we have this corporate prayer that reaches around the world, united prayer. But he's the one that told me that on the phone that day, Saturday, as I remember, the phone had a long cord, and I remember going to a place where I could lie down and talk on the phone and be away from the family that had gathered there because of my sister's passing. Now, that was on Saturday. He also, in Minnesota, he took Lynn Hammond and her husband, Mac, pastors. That day, he took them aside, And he gave them some instructions. They didn't realize he was giving instructions. Now we know he was. And he told her that there were two people she must pray for and never stop praying for. One of them was Kenneth E. Hagin's son, Kenneth W. Hagin, who's now known as Pastor Hagin. Pastors the Rhema Church in Broken Arrow. And he said, never stop praying for Ken. He called him Ken. And never stop praying for Billy Brim. Now we know that he was giving Lynn these prayer assignments. Now that was Saturday that he took Mac and Lynn out after he'd already talked to me. On Sunday morning, I was in Pryor, Oklahoma, where my sister and her husband lived. And I went to church with her husband and their two daughters. And then I went out to the house, and there Don and one of the girls, I can't remember which one, received the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I drove on home 40 miles to Pryor, Oklahoma, where I lived. When I walked in the back door of the kitchen door of my house, my husband was sitting at the table with some friends who had dropped by to visit. The telephone was ringing. I answered the telephone, and it was from Mac and Lynn's church. It was from their platform. Brother Halverson, there was high praise, high music. I could hear it. Brother Mac Hammond had given a vision that he had for the church, and he'd asked Brother Halverson to come up and pray over it. So Brother Halverson and his wife Fern went up to the platform with Mac and Lynn, and Brother Halverson was praying, and he always prayed for the pastors. And he was praying for that. And he always prayed under great power, and he fell to the floor. I think they all fell to the floor. And they got up, then eventually slain by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God. But Brother Halverson did not get up. He looked at them, smiled, closed his eyes, and he was gone. He departed from Mac and Lynn Hammond's platform. I said to Mac later, his place of going was as surely chosen and attended as Elijah's going. And they called me from that platform. They told me what had happened from the back room. And the church was in high praise. And of course, they had called for the ambulance. And there in Minnesota, they did an autopsy. They said no known cause of death. But he did have what was an abundant entrance. And he too went, by the way, I believe that the Bible calls the divine kiss that we've talked about this week very much. Now, abundant entrance. When I would be praying with Brother Halverson, he would suddenly sometimes get a great, a power came on him. And he would say, abundant entrance, abundant entrance, abundant entrance. Then maybe he would say words like, arrangements, arrangements. So he had done that so often that I said to him, Brother Halverson, what are you praying when you pray that? He said, well, some saint of God that's worthy of an abundant entrance has just gone home or is getting ready to go home. And the Lord is having me pray that abundant entrance into the glory world. And he's having me to pray about the arrangements. And so I said, well, where is that? He said, didn't you see that in the Bible? I said, well, no, I didn't. So he took me then to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, in verse 11, it says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, years later, I had seen a book by Alexander McLaren, and in it he had a year's worth of sermons, and one of them was a funeral sermon. And ever since I read that book, I've had a completely different picture of the meaning of 2 Peter, the whole book of 2 Peter. We won't get to all of it right now. But he says, right here, McLaren says and points out, in verse 4 of 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He said, you have to let Peter tell you what kind of promises he's talking about. So the promises that you see that he's talking about on over in chapter 3 are the promise of his coming, verse 4. The promise of the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, talking about the coming of the Lord. And it talks about the coming, the promises of a new heaven and a new earth. So Peter is really literally talking about things of the last. But the reason that he's talking about them, that he's the beginning, he's getting ready to go. Peter was the disciple. He was the apostle that walked with the Lord. And when he was ready to go, the people, it really shook up the body of Christ, because they've been looking for Jesus to come any day. So Jesus, so the setting here, Peter is saying in verse 13, I think it meet of the first chapter, as long as I am in this tabernacle. Now the Bible in the New Testament never talks about death as physical death as death. It always talks about moving from one tent to another, moving to another room, putting on different clothes. So here he uses the term the tabernacle or the tent. Peter says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this body, in other words, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Jesus had told him how he would die. Moreover, verse 15, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, the King James says, but the word in the Greek is exodus, and it means departure. Peter said, after my departure, I want you to remember these things. And he was going to tell them that the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. He is going to come. But now we're going to go right back to that term abundant entrance and what it means. You see the picture. When Peter is writing this, he's getting ready himself to go. Now, he says that the Lord has given great and precious promises, chapter 1, verse 4. And then in verse 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness. And he goes right on with several things. And he says, if these be in you and abound, they shall make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. That means short-sighted. So he is telling them, if you add these things to your saving faith, then what is the result? Verse 11, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Alexander McLaren pointed out that the word add, verse 5, if you add these things to your faith, then, verse 11, there shall be added under you an abundant entrance. It's the same word he said. Add and ministered in verse 11 are the same word. So if you add these things to your saving faith and you grow in life, then there will be ministered unto you or added unto you an abundant entrance. Mama Jenkins had an abundant entrance into the glory world. Kenneth E. Hagin had an abundant entrance. You can have an abundant entrance into the glory world. Whether or not you go by the divine kiss, or maybe a lot of people have gone other ways. My husband went another way. People go another way. But whatever way, if you add to these things to you, then there shall be ministered to you an abundant entrance. And even as I'm speaking this on the radio, I'm probably speaking up there at Mama's funeral. And I'm going to tell them that Mama Jenkins had an abundant entrance into the glory world. You see that you add these things to your life so that you can have an abundant entrance by the way of the rapture or the grave. Shalom.